Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah!
Edition of Rebel Rise Live. I'm David Johnson, along with your co-host Dave Bevan. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon as the dust has started to settle on National Signing Day for the Ole Miss Rebels. Ole Miss right now in the 247 Sports Team Recruiting Rankings, ranked number 5 in the nation with this class. Will they stay there? I don't know. We've got to see what else is going to play out the rest of the day. There's really only one more thing on the table for Ole Miss, and that's Mike Juarez, the 5-star linebacker out of Torrance, California, who will announce a little bit later this afternoon. If you want my gut on it, I've been telling you this for a couple of weeks now. I think he stays out on the West Coast. BYU's kind of surging a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, it's probably going to be UCLA. All right, Dave, we've got some callers waiting. We're going to do a live caller in addition to this show, so take it away.
All right. Live caller, you're on the line. If you would, state us your screen name, please.
Am I on?
You're on. Go ahead. Who are we talking to?
Oh, okay. Dang. I'm Justin Hicks out of Brookhaven, Mississippi, and I wanted to call about the whole Jeffrey Simmons situation. I mean, you know, for like the past month, it's been all Ole Miss, Bama, all Ole Miss, Bama. And all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, he picks, you know. I know he's close to Starkville and all that, you know, but you never really heard much out of state for a while for like the past 2 or 3 weeks before National Signing Day, and all of a sudden he picks state. I just want to see if he makes some more detail.
I think that's a really good question, and you know, the words we used on the message board was shock. Before I dozed off last night about 12:30 a.m., I double-checked with sources. Everybody felt good. At 10:45 a.m. this morning, I double-checked with Ole Miss sources. They still felt good. As I understand it, what I'm being told, communication with Jeffrey dried up shortly before the 11 a.m. hour this morning. And he no longer communicated with the Ole Miss staff past that point. Of course, he was in the gymnasium at Knoxby High School getting ready to make his announcement. Shock. That's the way to describe it right there. I think everybody was pretty much on the same page over the course of the last month or so with Jeffrey Simmons' recruitment. That Ole Miss had made a lot of inroads. The comments that he made afterwards, I can't speak for Jeffrey, but I know that earlier today, A.J. Brown made some comments that Mississippi State fans probably felt a little stung by. So it could have been a little tit for tat going on there, Justin. I don't know that to be true, but, you know, I guess you could possibly deduce that's what the comments were, that Ole Miss was really never in it. Well, if Ole Miss wasn't in it and he was down to state in Alabama for such a long period of time, you know, why was he in Oxford over the weekend, and why was a different message being given to the Ole Miss coaches? I guess that would be the next question, and only he can answer that. So I hope that kind of helps you a little bit.
Okay. Well, that makes a whole lot more sense. Can I ask one more question?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
How y'all feel about McKay? Is it probably going to be a no-go? Is he just going to stay there?
Yeah, you know, my hunch on Mike Juarez is that he's going to stay on the West Coast. I felt that way for a little bit. I know Ole Miss is talking to him today. They've been in communication with him. You know, I think if you want to talk about a final three for him really and truly right now, it's UCLA, BYU, and Ole Miss, not necessarily in that order. I think it's UCLA. I don't have a lot of contacts out on the West Coast, but talking to our national guys within our network and even some outside of our network, they think it's a done deal that he goes to UCLA. Now, with that being said, we all know how these done deals can work out at the last second. So, you know, we're gonna keep the front doors open on Rebels 247 until we get final word from Mike on this class right now.
All right, then. Well, I guess y'all answered all my questions. Appreciate it.
Okay, Justin.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, David. It looks like we are still getting some more calls in. I'll just move on to the next one because we got a lot of them coming in. Caller, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, good. All right, we finally got one. We just went through a whole list. What's your screen name and what's your question?
Yeah, it's Barish85. I'm assuming you're talking to me, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
great.
Barish, you're good to go, man.
Okay, great. Hey, listen, I was just wondering if you guys could comment at all on the Carlos Becker situation over the weekend. You know, I know that we probably felt good about a couple of these cornerbacks coming out of the weekend, and then, you know, obviously Knott and Carter going the other way. Just wondered if, you know, Becker, you know, I don't know. Just is there anything there I guess you can comment on? Thanks.
Yeah, well, what you had over the weekend basically was, if I'm recollecting right, my days are running into one another, maybe Saturday evening, Carlos Becker on his Instagram account tweets out his top two of Ohio State and Florida State while he is on his Ole Miss official. Barish, is that pretty much accurate? Is that what we're talking about?
That's exactly right. And I just didn't know if we felt so good about some of the others, if perhaps, you know, he kind of got a message somewhere over the weekend that, you know, he wasn't in the top two or three there and just kind of dropped out for that reason. I don't know if you have any insight there as to what sort of transpired.
You know, I don't have a whole lot of insight into Carlos Becker. I think by the middle of the weekend, we all knew he was headed to Florida State, most likely. And I think Ole Miss probably felt that way. I can tell you this, though, the amount of confidence that they had in Shaheem Carter joining this class was almost impeccable. And I'll share this with you to the point of, and if you follow the threads, I've been saying now for the last several days, my Alabama sources are telling me that Alabama feels like they have Shai Carter. And I tried to get that point across to everyone. And my Ole Miss sources were exactly very, very confident on Shaheem Carter. So much so that when I put an update up yesterday afternoon, again stating that my Alabama sources were extremely confident on Carter, I got a call from one of my Ole Miss sources who was like, man, what are you hearing? Because this is what we know. I'm like, listen, I'm getting it from my Alabama guy, and I'll tell you who it was. It doesn't matter. It's Tim Watts, who runs Bama Online. Tim's a good friend of mine, part of the 247 Sports Network, and he's rarely wrong. Tim and I were talking every single day because Ole Miss and Alabama were running up against the same recruits. They felt very good about Shai Carter. Ole Miss did too. We saw how it broke this morning. So, yeah, was there a little bit of false confidence this weekend, perhaps, on some targets that maybe they felt were already inside the gate? Obviously. Had to be. Because I don't think Nigel Knott was pressed very hard, because it was believed to that degree that Shaheem Carter would be an Ole Miss Rebel today, and it didn't work out. I hope that helps clear it up a little bit, Barish, but that's what I can tell you.
Okay, thanks. And then just a second question. And this is kind of unrelated, and I'm really not sort of gasping for air here, but did the kid that Saban sort of dumped over the weekend, did he sort of find a place? I guess I just don't have access online right now to look that up. But he was a big kid from Alabama, as I recall.
He was a linebacker for
the linebacker,
Tuscaloosa,
that's right.
County. And I'll have to be totally honest with you. I've been so laser focused on what's going on with Ole Miss today, I can't answer that. But I'll try to get an answer for you, and I'll post it up in the Rebel.
No worries. Much appreciated, guys. You're doing a great job. Really
Thank you.
It's been a tough couple of weeks here. I'm not sure I can wait for the 2017 news to come out. Great job. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, brother.
Caller,
hello?
You're on the air.
This is,
hello.
Hey, this
hey.
Is Positive Pete. How are y'all doing today?
All right, Pete.
Good.
How are you?
Just, you know, a little hurting. I think the staff did a great job. And, you know, I think we got some bad stuff handed to us this past week. And it's just something that how are we going to prevent this from happening? I know Freeze, Womack, and crew constantly make adjustments. And Dave, in your opinion, is that something they need to look at? And one of the other points is that if we recruit the family and not the player, we seem to keep getting this situation where the family wants them here, but the player doesn't. And a lot of times, the player wins at that. I'm just going to listen and let y'all slap my hand
before,
me in the corner.
Before you hang up, though, Pete, one thing I want to address with you is that, and I appreciate you calling in, and we're going to answer your questions. But, you know, to think that we have misled or tried to mislead you at the direction of Ole Miss, and I've read your posts, I've responded to some of them, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, it's the furthest thing from the truth. We have sources, and we're very close to those sources, and they're honest with us. And they never ask us to bend the truth or, you know, there may be some intel that we get that they don't need out there or the recruit doesn't need out there, such as the Devon Penamon situation. And that situation, reading between the lines, was out there for anybody to know, but they were not sure they were going to take Devon Penamon, but Devon Penamon wanted to come to Ole Miss. He was not in any frame of mind to flip to A&M or Alabama. Those were going to be plans B and C for Devon Penamon. Well, you don't necessarily – they didn't want that out there to embarrass the kid. The kid didn't want to be embarrassed. There was no need in that. Now, it finally leaked out before everything came to solution on that. But that's the only time that, you know, we're – if there's a reason we're not reporting something that we know, it's because out of respect to our sources, in which we must give respect to them. We have to cooperate with them from time to time. They tell us information and ask to keep it confidential as a precursor to us getting that information, and we have to abide by that from time to time. But on the 6th, I assure you, the Ole Miss coaching staff was absolutely feeling exactly, and I think you pointed this out, as every major site that covers Ole Miss told you guys they were. There were some shocking things that happened today. But I just wanted to kind of get that out. But as to answering your questions, recruiting the kid versus recruiting the family, they recruit the whole package. They do. Sometimes some of that stuff is semantics, Pete, I think, you know, when you're talking about, well, we've got the family. You know, if you don't have the kid, and you're exactly right, if you don't have the kid, you don't have anything. Because ultimately, the kid's probably going to be the one that's going to make the decision. But
in the positive side of that, Dave.
Yeah.
And the positive side of that, when the family's on board what they're doing, even if you miss a kid or two, you're going to have a better chance of having that kid here 3 years if he's a complete stud, 4 years if he's a great player, 5 years if he needs a red shirt. So, again, there is a flip side to that where it's more positive than just having a kid that's picking LSU and his mom holding her hand over her face at some of the, you know, over the past couple of years at the Under Armour games. So, I mean, there is a benefit to the family being all in for our family.
But, you know, to say this, one thing, you know, you were asking, you know, when is this going to change? It's not going to change. I mean, these signing day surprises and things, that's like, you know, talking about war and asking when are soldiers going to quit being shot? I mean, it's not going to change, Pete. It's the beast we've all turned it into.
Yep.
Sometimes it's awful fun to follow it, and sometimes it's just flat out awful. And, that's the best way I can describe it. You know, there was exhilaration this morning and then a big-time letdown this afternoon if you're an Ole Miss fan. But I think you got to look at the sum total of everything. And I think if you do that, you have to be pretty happy with this class.
Without a doubt. And, David, about the sources, I don't think y'all are withholding it. I think there's some conditions that are put on y'all that prevents y'all from being more of an investigative inquirer journalist. And I know you and a lot of your colleagues do not want that reputation. And I know a lot of people on the board we appreciate that. So when David says it, it's real, and we do appreciate that. Just one last comment, and I appreciate y'all, but, you know, with the judgment about keeping guys, you know, Hugh Freeze always has a couple of scholars in his back pocket, you know, as a comment you made. You know, we need to start, I mean, again, I know Nick Saban does it, and I know a lot of other programs do it, and we jump on their shorts on the board when they let somebody go. I just hope we could think about a process and a plan that we can have those people in our back pocket and say, hey, you know what? We're going to take you. This is the situation, and we need you on board this way or that way. You know, if we don't get Mr. So-and-so, you know, we need you anyway. But,
yeah.
You know, I think we need to adapt to that because, you know, look, we're not trying to beat Vanderbilt every year now. We're trying to beat Bama and LSU, and that's and the sad thing about it, it's the arms race. And hear yourself, our gain is your loss, and your gain is our loss.
All right. Points well taken, Pete, and we appreciate the call, brother.
And, hey, look, sorry for being such a jerk today. Y'all have a good day.
Understand. Understand,
care,
Pete.
Man.
Thank you, Pete.
Bye.
Good to have a little serenity now here on this podcast call. Pete was
tearing
it up earlier in the day on the board.
All right. That went through our call list right now, David. They may have been waiting a little while, so they'll call back in.
Be listening.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, just looking at this class today, though, as it stands right now, again, Mickey Juarez still hanging out there. Possibility, I don't think it's a strong possibility, but there is a possibility that he could be an Ole Miss Rebel by the end of the day. We'll just have to see. But as the class stands right now, the number five class in the nation, kind of felt like they may maintain three and possibly even move up to number two when this day started today.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. But when you look at what this class contains, and there are eight early enrollees in this class, eight. And there are a lot of long-time commitments in this class that didn't break news today, so to speak. When you look at Greg Little, the number one offensive lineman in the nation, Shea Patterson, the number one quarterback in the nation, Benito Jones, the number six defensive tackle in the nation, A.J. Brown, the number five wide receiver in the nation, Deontay Anderson's the number two safety in the nation, DK Metcalf, the number 18 wide receiver in the nation. I want you to think about that. Just stop real quick on DK Metcalf. You all know how good he is. He's a Mississippi kid. He's an Ole Miss legacy player. And then you've got A.J. Brown to couple with him. And you have Trey Nixon to put out there with him. The wide receiver group outstanding. Let's talk about the offensive line. Greg Little, the best lineman in the country for the class of 2016, and then five others. That is, Jack DeFore put it Sunday, are just flat out gritty and nasty, which has been the Ole Miss fan base's big complaint about the offensive line play in recent years. Oh, they're too fat. Well, none of these guys are fat boys. Well, they're just not tough enough. All of these boys are pretty dead young tough. So look at the O-line class. One recruiting site called it the nation's top offensive line class. You can now make that argument with the wide receiver class. You've got the country's top quarterback. All of this contained in this class. Did Ole Miss miss on the defensive side of the ball today? Yes. Yeah, damn right they did. Were they expecting to? No, they weren't. I mean, you know, there was some sudden shock today. I'm not going to argue with you about that. They thought they had Jeffrey Simmons. I'm telling you, every source in the country up to last night thought Jonathan Kongbo would be an Ole Miss Rebel. Non-Ole Miss sources thought that. When Barton Simmons crystal balled Kongbo to Ole Miss, it was non-Ole Miss sources giving him that information. Barton and I spoke about that. Things happen, guys. Gals. I mean, it's just like life. Recruiting is just like life. There are winners, losers, highs and lows. But as an Ole Miss fan base, you won with this class, the highest rated class in the history of the school. It's going to finish higher than the 2013 class. So I just say, wow, I understand the sticker shock of what happened after 10 a.m. this morning. But you got to feel good. You got to go to bed tonight thinking, Hugh Freeze just brought in the fifth rated class in the country. In the country, not in the SEC, in the country. That puts you where you want to be, where you've always wanted to be, and that's in the national conversation. You saw what a number 8 class could do. Let's see what a number 5 class can do.
I know the line.
Well, if you are
busy.
Listening out there, give us a call back. We'll certainly take your calls. But, you know, that kind of sums up today. Highs, lows, wins, losses. The biggest loss of the day, Jeffrey Simmons, going to Mississippi State. I didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. I was blindsided. I can tell you now, the Ole Miss coaching staff didn't see it coming either. I don't know that anybody saw it coming other than Paul Jones at Bulldogs 247 about an hour before it happened. He changed his
mm-hmm.
crystal ball back to Mississippi State, so give Paul credit. He knew something that was going on in that situation. The biggest win today for Ole Miss, A.J. Brown. I mean, you want to talk about can't close? I see a lot of comments about how this staff is not adequate closers. Well, they closed the deal with A.J. Brown today in Starkville, Mississippi. And if you want to talk about A.J. Brown for a minute, what kind of courage did that take? Hey, I'm impressed as hell with Deontay Anderson jumping out of the airplane and committing to Ole Miss. That was courageous. What A.J. Brown did today, equally so. Just think that mm-hmm. should be pointed out right there. Well, A.J. Brown and Ole Miss Rebel. Callers, Dave?
None right now. But, you know, I agree with you, David. For A.J. to step up, you know, to the mic and announce to Ole Miss, that took a lot of courage for him to do that. And, you know, he's the number 5 wide receiver in the country. Ole Miss has loaded this wide receiver class with getting A.J. Brown, DeKalen Metcalf, and then Trey Nixon. Not a lot of people know this about Trey Nixon, but he is one of the fastest prospects in this class. Records a 4.3 on the 40-yard dash. We do got a – but, you know, just going back to talking about this class, David, you know, it is loaded, and like you said, it is going to finish out as the most historic class in Ole Miss history. It's going to top the 2013
class.
Well,
it will
class.
Be, Dave. It'll be – it could and be that way. We're a couple of years down
right.
the road from knowing that.
And there's no sugarcoating it. I mean, there were some misses today, late this afternoon. And if you go back and look at even the 2013 class, there were some misses in there as well. There were some.
Well, I'll say this. Maybe I've got that. Maybe I have the Houston Nutt years just ingrained too deep into my mind. Because if you would have told Ole Miss when Houston Nutt was here that they were going to finish with a top 15 class, it would have been a riot on the square tonight. People would be partying like crazy. Now all of a sudden. And that goes with fan expectations. Now, all of a sudden, you know, what you're doing is
it's
not
the
good
new
enough.
Norm.
Yeah, it's the new norm. And, you know, that's why Georgia fires Mark Richt. You know, that's why LSU is talking about firing Les Miles. And I just, I personally understand. Look, when you take the money these coaches take, I get it. The results are not expected. They must be imminent. I get that. But you're getting those results at Ole Miss right now, and you got it today with the number 5 class in the country. So, you know, I don't understand these bridge leapers that right now are just like, oh, my God, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, and this guy didn't do that, and David, you lied to us, and, you know, your sources suck. You know what? They're giving me the best information they've got. They're not up inside that kid's head when they shut the door and leave the home visit. You know, they're not sitting down there in the living room with mom and dad when no one's around. They're having to analyze the situation as well. It's not easy to do. You know, I'm to the point I think every coach and staff needs a Dr. Phil on it. and not to figure the recruits out, but gosh, dog, to help the coaches out with some of these people who who get on them so hard all the time.
We got some more callers in, David.
Let's do it.
Let's get one on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Is this me?
Yeah, it's you, man.
Oh, hey, quick question. I'm just getting in, so you may have answered this already, or somebody else may have made a similar point. But it seems to me, from just looking at some of the names mentioned, that a lot of the recruits that Ole Miss missed on late were defensive players. And I'm wondering if there's anything that maybe the staff is looking at about the way they recruited defensive players, or if there's anything that calls that into concern or question or anything. And I'll just let you all answer it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I know that every year there's a self-evaluation. Every year, Ole Miss evaluates its own self, what it did well, what it didn't do well. So I'm sure, where the recruiting shortfalls are, and I think this caller is correct in pointing out that the majority of them were obviously on the defensive side of the ball. They were happy what they had offensively and then iced the offensive cake with A.J. Brown earlier in the day. Defensively, though, it looks like surely a big-time strikeout at the linebacker position, particularly when you lose, and we haven't talked about this, when you lose David Luafatasaka to Utah State. And Mike Juarez, still hanging out there, but it doesn't look good on him. And then you had a couple of others that you went after late in the game that ended up going to Oregon, Keith Sims, and then another kid that stayed with his commitment to North Carolina State. The linebacker position, it's hard to say very many good things about the recruitment there at the linebacker position. It was obviously a position of miss, as was cornerback. When you get into, missing on Nigel Knott and Shaheem Carter, and both go to Alabama. So defensive side of the football, yeah. What do you do to address it? I don't know. I know that they will break themselves down, looking at themselves at the process, to try to rectify any shortcomings that they feel they had with this recruiting class or the process of it, much like they did in their bowl preparation after getting manhandled by TCU. They looked at how they approached that, and they changed the way they approached it. And the Peach Bowl I'm talking about, and they applied those changes to the Sugar Bowl, and you saw the differences there. So will if there's something to be learned from this, will the staff learn from it? Absolutely, I believe they will. All right, Dave, any more callers?
Yes, we got one coming in right now. Hey. Caller, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Caller? Hello? Hey, can you hear us?
I'm doing good.
What's your screen name and what's your question?
Jamarcus. And what happened with Jeffrey Simmons? How sure we are going to get him?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in this podcast, but if you're not listening live, you wouldn't know that. So just to kind of recap, I can't answer that. All I can tell you is that our Ole Miss sources were convinced. They felt very, very good on Jeffrey Simmons as late as 12:30 last night, as late as 10:45 a.m. this morning. Everything still looked positive with Jeffrey Simmons, positive to a point of there being a little confidence, more than a little confidence. As I am told, communication between Ole Miss and Jeffrey Simmons ceased about 11 a.m. And, of course, about 45 minutes later, he committed to Mississippi State. And that is what I know at this hour. After we talk to our sources over this afternoon, tonight, and into the rest of this week, maybe some more will come to light on that. But probably the only person that can answer that with any bit of authority would be Jeffrey Simmons himself. All right, thank you for the call.
All right, thank you. But in talking about that, it is an upset, to lose Jeffrey Simmons, the number one overall prospect in the state, David. One thing to point out, Ole Miss did not lose the state of Mississippi recruiting. Four out of the top 10 of 247 Sports top-rated recruits in the state of Mississippi signed with Ole Miss. The other three went with Alabama, and the other three went with Mississippi State. Did not lose the state of Mississippi by far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think most everyone understands that as well. And it is what it is. Again, right now, Ole Miss with the fifth-rated recruiting class in the country. So we'll see how it stacks up towards the end of the day. But that's where it is right now at this time. So, and a pretty darn good class, too. And here's something to think about. The lowest-rated guy in this Ole Miss class is Tarekius Tisdale out of Lexington, Tennessee. It's a three-star, 85 score on the 247 sports rating system. He's my pick to be the sleeper in this whole class. He's a 6'5", 247-pound guy who runs like a linebacker, may end up playing defensive end at Ole Miss. I've always thought that. He's an awful big linebacker, but he runs good enough, he could play the linebacker position, particularly the Mike. That's the lowest-rated player in this class. I have seen years where Tarekius Tisdale would be pushing for the highest-rated player in an Ole Miss signing class, all before Hugh Freeze got here. But there have been years that that's what you're looking at. And you lost Conbo to Tennessee. Tennessee wanted Tisdale. You didn't lose him to Tennessee. So I would just encourage you to look at the whole picture before you start condemning the fact that Ole Miss batted 500, which will get you into any all-star game in baseball today on these last six that they were trying to close on.
Another thing that I want to point out too, David, that is you mentioned it. It's not a loss there. You mentioned you brought up Tisdale. That's a very good point. I also wanted to bring up too, you know, the cornerback position seemed like a miss today. It surely was with Shaheen Carter committing to Alabama. Ole Miss forces fell
pretty good. I want to break something. I want to break something real quick on this podcast.
Go ahead.
Mike Juarez has just committed to UCLA. So there's that. Mike Juarez
that
no
now.
Longer on the open market, as we predicted.
And that's what. Right. We both predicted that Mike would finish with UCLA. But what I was talking about with the cornerbacks, Ole Miss got some very good cornerbacks out of this class. With Justin Connor, he has already been taught with. He is, you know, the cornerback position is going to be his future at Ole Miss. Jalen Jones out of Allen, Texas, teammate with Greg Little, four-star cornerback. And then Miles Hartfield, which I also believe, you know, he's an early enrollee, so he gets that spring experience in there. He very well could be the steal of this class. Tremendous length and tremendous speed. I think Ole Miss did get some need, you know, some good need there at cornerback.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that as well. All right, Dave, we're going to wrap it up. We just wanted to take a few calls from some of the members of Rebels 247. And, again, the breaking news at the end of this, you'll know this before this podcast airs, is that Mike Juarez commits to UCLA as expected. That should do it for the Rebels today. And we're going to motor back around over to the message board as Hugh Freeze is having his press conference right now. And we thank you all for giving us so much of your time over the last couple of weeks as we've all been glued to what's going on in the world of Ole Miss recruiting. But sleep well tonight. Your Rebels did quite well on the recruiting trail in 2016. Time now to turn your attention to a new class of fresh faces. We'll hope to introduce you to them over the next 365 days. And we'll do all this again 1 year from today. So for Dave Bevan, I'm David Johnson. Thank you all. And as always, hotty totty.